I am God. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with instant illumination. I am God. Sounds heavy to say that. Sounds heavy to make that statement. And yet, everything that we've been taught by the teachings of Jesus tell us that we are God, that the divine is within us. Jesus made a blatant statement. He said, "Go to the Father within, and the Father will reveal all to you." Now, when you go to the Father within and you go to God within, if God is within me, if God is me, then I must be able to say I am God. But I'm not able to say I'm God because I don't want to say I'm God. Because if I say I'm God, I'm going to have to act like I think God is. Now, if I think God is like the Old Testament, you know, with hell and damnation, and that I'm a sinner, and I'm worthless, that's where all that stuff came from that came into the New Testament. It's out of the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is a hell and damnation book. But it's a story of what these people went through and how these people had to be chastised to bring them in line with what the leaders of their community wanted them to do. The Bible is the story of the religious development of a people. The Bible is sacred, yes, because it's the story of a religious development of a people. But it's not sacred insofar as it's beyond you. It is just a teaching tool. Now, when you learn how to do mathematics, you first learn the very simple phrases. You learn the very simple phrases of 1 plus 1, 1 times 1, and 1 times 2, and 2 times 2, and things like that. Very simple things. And to us it's simple because we've been there. But to the student who's in there for the first time, for the little guys who are coming in there, well, rather than make mathematics so heavy and so horrendous for them, you make it as a game. You say, now, if you have one apple, and I have an apple, and I give you my apple, how many apples do you have? Well, now, they've gotten the word two early in the game, that one and one are two. Well, now, what if you had two apples, and you had two more apples, what would you have? You'd have four apples. Now, what if you took two times two, and that makes four? Well, why does it make four? Because here's two, and times means to double it by another, and here's another two, so it makes four. And then, you see, when you make it into a game, when you make it into fun, now, children love the game of make-believe. They love the game of pretending that they are adults. And so, we are supposed to pretend that we are God. The more we pretend that we are God, the more we'll act like what we think God is. And if we think that God is a loving presence, as Jesus told us he is, a loving father, Jesus said, "Would your father do this?" You see, he compared him to a loving father. And we still think of God as something terrible. Well, perhaps because we are reaching to the advanced school of theology. We're not staying in the primary school of theology. The primary school of theology where you just learn 2 times 2 is 4 and so on. Now you're getting up into the complicated stuff. And the complicated stuff is thoughts are things. That's really complex. Thoughts are things. And when you say that a thought is a thing, and you say, "I think my thought and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it," or "I think my thought and all is revealed to me," that's kind of way out. And so you say to a little child, okay, let's play make-believe. And so the child plays make-believe with you and pretends that he's the daddy and you're the mommy and so forth, and you're having tea together without tea in the pot, and you're having cake and whatever without any cake, you know, just an empty plate. And they learn to play that game. Now, what magic are they instilling in their consciousness? The ability to see that which is unseen. The ability to do that. Then they say, that tasted so good. The nothing pie, you know. Or they even make a mud pie. And they pretend to eat it, you know, because they wanted the image a little more realistic. But they don't eat the mud pie, you can be sure. They play the game. Now, you see, this is how the art of learning takes place in adults. This is how the art of learning takes place in children. Who are the greatest leaders of men? Ones with a vision. Ones with imagination. Ones with an ideal. Who are the greatest parents? The parents who look at their children and praise the living daylights out of them every single moment of their life, telling them how wonderful they are and how good they are, even while they're struggling to become aware. Oh, there's a lot of kids in school who learn easy, and they get good grades and they're top of the class. And there's a lot of kids in school that learn more difficult. It's more difficult for them to accept all the things they're learning. And the reason for that is their mind wants to go into playing all sorts of different games. The children who are good students, generally speaking, are not very imaginative. They stay right with the principle, right with the book. Now you say, well, that's good. Well, yeah, that's good. But it's not what life's all about. Life is about no principle. You know? Think about it. Life is about no principle. God is neither what? Reasonable or logical. God is neither reasonable or logical. And you see, mankind makes his world reasonable and logical. And when he makes his world reasonable and logical, he makes his world intolerable. He makes his world unusable. He makes his world have diseases. He makes his world have limitations and poverty and all the dumb things like that. And who are the rich people? Who are the healthy people? The healthy people are people who are always thinking about a healthy body and acting like a healthy body. They're pretending. They're pretending they have a healthy body. They don't have a not healthy body or a healthy body, but they're pretending that they have a healthy body. And so they have a healthy body. Now, really, that's more true than we can ever give it credit for, because we are so logical and reasonable people. If you do this, that'll happen. If you do that, this will happen. But not necessarily. Maybe on the human basis, if you do this, that'll happen. If you strike someone, they'll strike you back. Not necessarily. If before they have a chance to strike you back, you say, oh, that was stupid, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And the other person will say, okay, you're forgiven. Instantly! It's not something you wait and meditate on and you figure out, let's see now, how can I get the least amount of bad vibes off of this thing? How can I be damaged the least? Instantly! And so you instantly play the game like children do. Children don't have to be told to see a puddle as a lake and the ants around the lake as people. And they don't have to be told that the little leaves floating on the lake are leaves as their boats. They're boats. The children instantly play that game. They instantly go into it. And you see, we don't know how to be God because we can't understand whether God is logical and reasonable or whether God is illogical and unreasonable. Well, the truth is, God is unreasonable and illogical. There's no reason. Is there a reason why a man or a woman love each other? you look at them and you say, why do you love that person? My goodness sake. And in the love stories, somebody falls in love with somebody and they do all sorts of silly, crazy things. And you say to yourself, my God, they lost their wits, you know. They lost their reason and their logic. They lost their reason and their logic when they love. Because when they love, they just embrace the other being, the other circumstance in their total heart, with no judgment, to unconditional love, no judgment. Now, maybe we ought to figure out who we think God really is. And do we care what God is? Do we care whether we are like God or not, or whether we're like our divine self or not? Do we care? Well, obviously we don't, because we keep saying naughty things like, you're a terrible person, or you're a bad person, or you did a dumb thing, you know, or you're hurtful, or, you know, blaming everybody else in the room. And the fact that we allow our imagination to see that means that we have taken ourselves out of the game of a good God. We've taken ourselves out of the game of a good God and put ourselves into the game of something else. Now, Ellen has a little miniature pincher here, and it's Little Love. Little Love just went out the doggy door and did his duty outside and came back in, and is wandering around the house, looking around, seeing what's going on and seeing what's happening. And Ellen has to immediately put her eyes to the dog when it comes in, immediately watch it when it's walking around, immediately pay attention. And she's not paying attention. If I were to ask her at that moment, okay, Ellen, what do you think God is? She'd say, Little Love. And of course, she's right.
Yeah.
For her, God is Little Love. But I would say, Ellen, your God is too small. Ellen, I'm asking you right now, who is your God? Is your God yourself? Is your God your world? Is your God all in the universe that you have created? Is that your God? Is that your total and even beyond it, where you haven't even paid attention to what's going on in the stars and off of the planets and off in the galaxies? You haven't the vaguest idea what's going on in half of your creation, you know, and you can't call yourself God because you're not paying attention. But now, if you were paying attention, what would happen to your universe? It would all be in divine order. Well, you mean I don't have to pay attention to what's going on in the galaxies and so on? Oh, yes, you pay attention. All is in divine order. If everything in your life, if everything in your perception is in divine order, that's God. Now, isn't it about time you take charge? There's nothing in your universe, Ellen, that's not in divine order. Everything in your universe is in divine order. Why?
Because I am in divine order. I'm God.
God said, yeah. Okay, well, how did this earthquake happen? How did hurricanes happen? How did acts of God happen? And you say,
all is in divine order.
It's just all in divine order. It's part of a natural unfoldment of whatever is going on. It's an evolution of what's going on under the ground with the tectonic plates and the movement of the earth. It's a volcano. It's people overusing the natural resources and then wondering what they have to do next. Well, hey, the natural resources are meant for you to overuse them. They're meant for you to use them up. And then for you to come up with some new idea of, not to replace them, but a new idea that would allow you to continue living in the way you're accustomed to. So, if you don't have gas, you take corn and you make it into a gas substitute. If you don't have electricity from coal, you start looking at the wind and the ocean. You start looking at the sky. You start looking at the sun. You start look. You see, you broaden your scope, because your scope was only as big as you had it, and then you used it to its max. You want to broaden your scope to whatever it is, because we're not out of energy. Tell me why.
Because all is energy.
Because all is energy. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. See, if you believe that all is energy, then what happens? You can never run out of it. We merely are using it in different ways. Mm-hmm. Now, you look at things that emit light, like plants or some animals, phosphorescence and so forth, and you say to yourself, my goodness, light is a very intense energy. Light is a lot of energy. You know that?
Yeah.
Okay, now, if this little nothing, this little lightning bug, so to speak, is emitting so much light that you can see it from a great distance, then the fact that each little atom inside of you has enough for the atomic bomb, you know, each little atom has enough to create this tremendous amount of energy to light the city of New York, so to speak. Now, each little atom. So, and that's your body. And you fluff off your atoms when you don't need them. And you have your bavuda, you know, your, it's just endless, useless stuff. And trees and houses and cars. And grass and plants and fossil fuels. You see? And even when they're compacted down in the ground, when they get the most compacted, what do we call them? Diamonds. They change from coal into diamonds as they're most compacted and the most pressure is put on them. Now, interesting, isn't it? And then we mine the diamonds because we find them useful for whatever we find them useful for, jewelry or industrial uses, you know, many things. So, this is imagination. This is letting your mind fly. This is being God. God is not limitation in any way. And you, when you hear of an illness, you think, oh dear. You, when you hear of an illness, I would recommend, you say, the energy of the universe is there. The energy of the universe is there. But my energy is there. I have surrounded it with my energy. It is flowing with my energy. It is up, 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 up. It's great. It's wonderful. It's whole and perfect. It's fabulous. All in divine order. Yeah? Can energy ever be out of divine order? You might think so, like if it's a bomb or something, you know, or forest fire or what have you. But can energy ever be out of order? No. Energy is only out of direction because mankind, who is supposed to have dominion over all energy, has not taken that dominion and said all is in divine order. Under all circumstances. Under all circumstances. Now, is it an easy job to train ourselves in this? No, because we are training ourselves as humans. And training ourselves as humans, we feel sorry for ourselves, we feel we're not getting our fair shake, we're not getting this. Well, we're not getting the fair shake, and we're not getting these things, and we don't deserve not to get it, because we think we're not getting it. We must think we are getting it to have it. It is a matter of where is our thought, where is our consciousness, where is our choice. We must determine who God is and who we are as God. God is not a he or a she or an it. God is not principle. God uses all these things. Now, is energy a he or she or it?
No.
Does energy use principle?
No, it is.
It is. It is. It is used, but it does not use. Is energy absolutely complete in itself?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, that's how I would like you to think of yourself. as energy, absolutely complete. As I'd like you to think of God as energy, absolutely. Is God energy?
Yes.
Is energy God?
Yes.
Is there any other definition that we could ever give to God that would be more complete than saying God is energy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, how do we want to use energy? How do we want to use the allness, the isness, the energy of the universe? How do we want to use it? With unconditional love. We want to use it as we think it would make us happy. A little child plays in a puddle and is happy. But a little child is not playing in a puddle. He makes that puddle into a world that he wants it to be. And we're not playing here in this physical body we call our bodies. This is our puddle. We created as a magnificent specimen of human life. The ideal. We create our human bodies as the ideal human body. And are you your human body? Never. You still exist when your human body is no longer here. You are the energy that always is. You are the energy that uses your intelligence for various things. You want to create the light bulb. You want to create an automobile. You want to create a spaceship. You know? How fascinating. And how diverse. And yet all are the same. All are the same little child playing in the puddle, but not in the puddle. He's playing in his own world. And we have tried to keep him from his own world from the time he was little. And how wonderful it is that the child will not give it up. They try to play loud music, and you know what they're doing when they're playing this loud music and destroying their eardrums? They're destroying all of the talk that's going on in the world about them that tells them that things are not good. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. That's why we have blindness, and that's why we have other things. We don't want to feel it. We don't want to taste it. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to have anything to do with it. And yet we do. Now, all this talk about God, what God is, who God is, how God is, if God is a sort of a joke, because God is not an is, an it, or anything else. God is an allness. Yeah. God, if you might say, God is all the energy of the universe. Now, how are you going to use that energy? How are you going to utilize it for yourself? Now, if you're a mouse, you may be utilizing it a little differently than if you're a dog, you know? Or if you're a plant. Or anything else you might want to name. Now, the piece of dirt out here is just as much God as you or I. Perhaps even more. You know? Who knows? Jesus said, if such would come to worse, the hills would speak out. Nothing could be him. And he said, if I were torn to shreds and scattered to the wind, I would be brought back together as one, because I have never lost my identity. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot to learn, a lot to enjoy, and things are not as complex as they seem. It's just that we try to make them understandable, and you don't understand. In Being There, the movie with our friend, at the end of the movie, he was a naive man. He was an untouched man by the world about him. He lived in a seclusion. Yet he was watching television and saw all these things, but it didn't make any sense to him because he wasn't personally involved in it. He was never allowed out of the house. And yet, when he walked out of the house, how did he walk?
Straight.
He walked like a straight Indian, you know, just proud, not proud, but he walked dynamic, and he walked into circumstances, and he was untouched by them. The whole world was wanting to say, you play it our way, or not at all. And he just did his own thing, untouched. He was beautiful. Mm. And I think there's so much to learn. And at the end, what did he do? He walked across the pond and took his umbrella, stuck it down in the water, demonstrating the fact that it really was water down there. Yeah. Now, we know for the movie business, they have created an illusion for us to see, but the image, the concept, is something we should not fight. We should look at it and say, You see, the thing is, you and I, we are so dense that we don't see the miracles that are happening about us every moment. We say, walking on water, my goodness, you know. We say, floating in the air without any mechanical means, my goodness. We say, look at that healthy body. That person had good genes. He was born with a healthy body, you know. And what was it all about? It was all about the idea that, who do you think you are? Who do you think your world is? And is it worthwhile pursuing? Can you ever say God too much? Sure. If you have no idea what it means. I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. Well, what does that mean to you? You're God, all's God. Yeah, that doesn't mean a thing. Now, are you the God of the Old Testament, hellfire and damnation? Are you the God of Jesus, the God of love, the Father within? Are you the God of mythology? And everybody was a god in mythology, if you remember. You know, how interesting, how wisely put. But how little understood. But they had God in mythology with very human traits. And that's okay. But this is a game that we're playing. So today, decide what it means to be God. Decide what it means to be lovely. Decide what it means to be a creator. Just decide whether it is better for you to be the little boy playing in the puddle, but for him it's a whole world, or for you to be kneeling in church. You know, which is better for you? I shouldn't give you just those two, but essentially that's true. Which is better? Which is better? The one where you are imaginative, creative, illumined, listening to the divine within you, or the other where you are listening to the outer. Yeah. It's something to think about. And as we think about it, we'll come a little closer to understanding what religion means, what God means, what it means to be ourselves. Have a lovely day and be yourself and have fun all the time. I love you. I love you. I love you.